You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Up next, the New Zealand CTU says major structural changes to the economy have left workers out of pocket, $11,500 to be exact. They add that changes are needed to address the imbalance, so I had a chat to economist Bill Rosenberg to find out more.
Like, naked is the theme. Like, people just love getting naked.
You've said that the labour share of income, which is the proportion of the total income of a country that goes to working people, as distinct from the owners of capital, has been dropping for decades as a direct result of government decisions. So firstly, can you please explain the distinction between the owners of capital and working people?
So the owners of capital are the people who own companies, who own, you know, land, who get money from bank deposits and housing and so on, like the capital gains you might get from housing, although that's not counted in the income statistics. But all those people who make their money from investment rather than from their work. So the other side of it is workers, and to some extent the work of self-employed people whose only means of income is from the labour that they do, the work that they do.
And can you tell me about this trend?
So over the last 30 to 40 years, the portion of the income that's been going to working people has been dropping over a number of periods during that time. So it peaked in 1981, and since then has been falling. So it fell in 1981. It was at 59% of GDP, and it fell to 49% in 2017. That's 10 percentage points. And what you need to remember is that every percentage point that it falls is worth around about $1,150 on average per year for each working person.
Yeah, so you claim that if wage and salary earners receive the same share of the income generated in 2017 as they did in 1981, they would on average have been $11,500 better off.
That's right. So if the share of income that went to wage and salary earners was the same as it was in 1981, then their annual incomes on average would be $11,500 higher.
And how can this trend be reversed? I mean, what does the government need to do?
Well, there's a number of contributors to that trend, and there's a lot of work on this internationally because it's part of the trend that Thomas Piketty highlighted in his well-known book, Capital in the 21st Century, that this falling share of income going to labour, to working people, is an international trend in the developing countries. And the contributors are partly that working people have lost bargaining power through changes in employment legislation, so that it's much more difficult for them to work together, to negotiate together collectively with their employer, which is necessary because employers have considerably more bargaining power than individual employees. They've also been hit by the forces of globalisation, which meant that employers can threaten to move production offshore, and in fact do so, as we've seen with Cadbury's down in Dunedin just very recently. And that puts the pressure on workers to reduce their wage expectations. So those areas that we think for New Zealand are probably the dominant ones, because when you trace that trend downwards since 1981, you can see very particular events carried out by governments that have led to this. It can also be contributed to by technological trends. So if there's a high degree of automation that replaces workers, then the owners of that automation, the owners of that capital, will get more of the income while those remaining workers will get less. And to an extent that has been a trend in New Zealand, but it's not obvious that it's been a big part of it.
Do you think one way to combat this might be higher corporate tax rates and then a UBI?
Well, that wouldn't actually change the income share, because that's after this income has been earned. This income is before any kinds of taxes or benefits such as a UBI. The tax and transfer system, the tax and benefit system, can help in the sense that if we accept that this is an inevitable trend, then you boost wages by taxing predominantly high income earners and capital to provide additional income to the to wage and salary earners. And to an extent that's already happening with working for families tax credits. But to us, much more preferable would be that people get a fair share of the income that they have generated through their work. This falling labour income share is also a reflection that real wages, so that's wages adjusted for rising prices, have not kept up with labour productivity growth. And so even though people are producing more for every hour they work, that's not fully reflected in their wages. So we think that while things like working for families are needed, because we do have a low wage economy relative to other developing countries, that we're much better to boost wages.
So realistically, what would you like to see the new government actually do about this?
The government has started off on some things that are a step in the right direction. So it's reversing the changes to the Employment Relations Act that National made over the last 9 years, which weakened people's workers' bargaining power even further. And what we saw over that period from 2009 to 2017 was a very significant fall in the labour income share just over that period. Again, worth about $2,500 just from the fall in labour income share over that period, $2,500 per year off average wage and salary income. So reversing that is a good step, but what we have seen is even reverting the Employment Relations Act to where it was before wasn't sufficient. And so the kinds of things that I was looking at in terms of so-called fair pay agreements, we would like to see some further strengthening of collective bargaining so that people can more easily get together with others in a union and negotiate with their employer to make sure that they get a fair proportion of the income that's been earned. We think those kinds of changes are very important.
Well, how much confidence do you have in this Labor-led government to achieve this? I mean, considering that they've held office twice in the three-decade period where we've seen this decline, I mean, and many people believe it all started with the Longy-Douglas government.
Well, it actually started with a wage freeze by Robert Muldoon and the National government before that, but certainly the Longy-Davis government didn't help. The Longy-Douglas government didn't help. The following National government led to further decline with its Employment Contracts Act and various other changes. There was something of a rise, not enough to restore the previous year from about 2003 or 2004 onwards, which reflected at least in part changes in the employment law. We're hopeful that this government is committed to these changes. It certainly has done what it promised in the first 100 days. The law isn't through Parliament yet, so we'll be watching that, but they seem committed. They are also apparently committed to these so-called fair pay agreements, which would spread the benefit of collective bargaining pay setting. So we will have to see, and we will certainly be urging them on. But so far, so good.
Yeah, so, I mean, this drop in workers' share of wealth started around the early 80s, privatisation, commercialisation, etc. Why have successive governments allowed this trend to continue for 30-odd years? Surely they've been aware of it.
The view has been very heavily influenced by what we call neoliberalism, the idea that government should get out of the economy and leave it to the private sector. That's a sure recipe for growing inequalities, and this downward trend in the labour share is one of those symptoms of growing inequalities. What it does is it hands more and more power to people with wealth, and in turn that hands more and more of the income to them. So it was part of that philosophy of trickle down that really doesn't work, and which hasn't been good for the New Zealand economy. In any case, we've seen this low wage economy, poor productivity growth, and falling behind the rest of the OECD.
So around, up to 8 or 10,000.
Shit.
The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.